paid, come clean like a shaper. So I guess I get a game of taper. But everybody gon' feel the need to say something, but can't speak up whenever you face them. That's what you call microphone gangsters. Yeah, I got a mocha dope. Yeah, I'm all you
know. So the New Mexico Bowl. The inaugural bowl of bowl season. Remember, this is the reason for the magic. This is why we don't have a playoff. And so we can preserve the sanctity of the New Mexico Bowl chili cook-off. Yes, the chili cook-off, where two teams face each other to determine who makes the least rancid chili in at a team dinner 3 days before the bowl game, which is 7 days before Christmas. That's where we're at, the New Mexico Bowl. The first one we're looking at, joining me, is Holly. Holly, what are your best memories of the New Mexico Bowl? Can you just share one of them with us?
I think the New Mexico Bowl's saving grace is that it's not in Arizona. Does that count?
That's true, because remember that the two exist sort of in a polarity, right? If something is good in New Mexico, it must be bad in Arizona. And therefore, like, Arizona is the dystopian flip side of New Mexico's happy, hippie, eco-friendly parallel dimension of happiness to, like, Arizona's, like, raising Arizona Mad Max-style level of existence, right? Like, that's the way the two states work, right?
Right. I will give the edge to UTEP and the chili cook-off, however, because I'm pretty sure BYU isn't allowed to use cumin.
Yeah, I think cumin will get you to a lesser heaven.
I think that's on the list.
I think extensive use of cayenne, too, will force them to shake the dust from their shoes when they leave your house. And girlfriend, you don't want a Mormon to do that. Let's go ahead and first look at a little bit of the history of the New Mexico Bowl, one of the more illustrious bowl games. This is, by the way, the first bowl game ever played in New Mexico. You can find that on their site. This is the first bowl game ever played in the Land of Enchantment. And isn't that like a real claim, right? They can't.
Also, really the first competitive football game to be played within the bounds of the state of New Mexico this season.
It will be, especially given the forays into coaching by fighting Mike Loxley, our punching friend. He fights. He's punching Mike Loxley. Let's go ahead and just, you say your favorite memory. That's because nobody has memories of this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to have to do the history of the New Mexico Bowl, because I got to the first line of the history on the website where they incorrectly use an apostrophe in its, and I just slammed my laptop shut in disgust. So I got nothing.
Okay, well, I will go ahead and just share a little bit. This bowl game goes back all the way to the dark days of 2006. The first one, which, by the way, this bowl game's moved up. Remember, bowl games keep expanding. This is like the expanding universe theory, right? The bowl season just keeps sort of expanding across December and January. It was on the 23rd. Now they're going to play it on the 18th. 34,000, which I imagine that's actually like 17 people, watch San Jose State defeat the New Mexico Lobos 20-12. So just know that this bowl game got started with a New Mexico loss. That's how this began. And then New Mexico went.
And really, that's sort of appropriate.
It completely appropriate for this game. And
Let's find out what the number one hit song was when this happened.
That'll show you how very not long ago this was, right? You find out what the number one song was. But
Mariah Carey, Don't Forget About Us.
Wow.
No, wait, sorry. It was Beyonce. It was Irreplaceable.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Sorry, Mariah.
That's actually kind of a magic. That's a magic period in American history.
We missed Taffy Taffy by a mere 11 months.
Oh, goodness. But so we are now on New Mexico Bowl 5, all right, after Wyoming v. Fresno State last year, which Fresno State actually lost this game last year to Wyoming in a thrilling second overtime. So this game can't actually be quality like a lot of the lower tier bowls. In fact, I think the most entertaining bowl game I watched last year was Bowling Green v. Idaho, where Rob Akey said screw it and went for two rather than kick the point at the end of the game and got it, right? Thus making us all Yarb Knowles fans forever.
It was amazing. That was the game of the year where the entire family was crowded around and everyone who wasn't screaming for one team or the other was screaming to find out which two teams were actually playing at all.
It was spectacular. So, you know, we mocked this game. It could be way better than we know. Please talk a little bit about UTEP. Since you stuck me with BYU, right? We were basically like throwing around the hot potato of who wanted to look at the complete and total uncharismatic mess that is the BYU football team. So you take UTEP, and then I'll talk a little bit about the Mormons.
Well, it's been a strange year even for the miners because, you know, I started off the summer boldly predicting that they would beat an undefeated Arkansas team in the middle of November and that would be the upset of the year. But in true Mike Pice, El Paso fashion, UTEP was even more confusing this year because they didn't even lose to all the bad teams on their schedule. Like, not only did they not beat all the good teams on their schedule, they didn't even lose to all the bad teams that you would expect UTEP to lose to. Like, they let Arkansas Pine Bluff hang around. You know, they lost to Houston, and they beat the New Mexico State, the Memphis, the New Mexico. And then they lose to Tulane, which you kind of expect, and they lose to Marshall, which they kind of expect. They beat Southern Methodist, which you would expect because Southern Methodist is one of the stronger teams on their schedule, and therefore UTEP, you know, enters as an agent of chaos and engenders the opposite effect. And then they lose to Tulsa, you know, to end the final season. Of course, but, you know, looking back, of course UTEP is going to finish 6-6.
Well, yeah, that's their destiny.
But they didn't lose to the teams they were supposed to beat and beat all the teams they were supposed to win, proving once again that UTEP cannot be quantified.
Moving to BYU, BYU had a terrible year. I mean, really bad. Just a horrible year. I know they're 6-6, and I know they made
it. And for no reason, too.
Well, for a very good reason initially.
Well, for a couple reasons that you wouldn't think would have crippled them as badly as they were.
Yeah, BYU's defense, which has been the hallmark of their team, right? It's been the thing that's made them most competitive under Bronco Mendenhall. Again, that's a fake name. We know it. You know it. But Bronco Mendenhall is obviously under the witness protection program and has been for years.
Living in a house with Steve Lobotsky.
Steve Lobotsky and Bronco Mendenhall just sitting there chewing their oats, living their fake lives, right?
They sell jelly at a roadside stand.
And occasionally fresh produce. Don't shaft them on that. Well, in this case, their defense was atrocious, right? They started off with, remember this, by the way? They beat Washington week one, right? Sark
week. Yeah, they ruined Sark week right out of the gate for us.
They ruined Sark week by beating Washington 23-17, and thus putting the crack in the foundation that became the collapsed house of love that Todd McShay once felt for Jake Locker. And then they proceeded to lose a whopping four games in a row to Air Force, to Florida State, to Nevada, and to Utah State.
Lost bad to Utah State.
They lost bad, and after the loss to Utah State, Bronco Mendenhall fired Jamie Hill, their defensive coordinator. So this season was already toast, right? The coaching staff was in shambles and put on death notice like in October, the very beginning of October. After that, though, they really did play significantly better football. Down the stretch after their four-game losing streak to start, they ended up going, I believe, 6-2. So
their defense was okay after that, but, I mean, look how much the offense picked up after that from win to win.
That's true. I'm sorry, it was 5-2 down the stretch in order to make them bowl eligible. But, yeah, they beat a good San Diego State team the week after, 24-21. They lost to TCU, but everyone did. Wyoming, they beat Wyoming, UNLV, Colorado State, New Mexico. That's a bad stretch of teams, but you have to do that with bad teams, right? You have to take bad teams and you have to set them on fire. The real indictment, if you want to know how bad a year this was, they lost to Utah.
Right? That was a horrible, the 17-16 game, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was an extremely ugly game, and that's what gets them here at 6-6 to this bowl game, which, again, I don't think you should fit. Like, you should finish a year in a bowl game with a losing record. It seems so weird to me that like, I have no, for some reason, my brain's like, oh, 6-6. I have no problem with the 6-6 team making a bowl. But when you finish 6-7 after your bowl game, there's a very old fashioned, grizzled part of me that just doesn't like that. But yeah, this is a team with a terrible passing attack, a decent rushing attack, and a defense that, really down the stretch improved greatly, but beginning of the year was just shot through with holes. So your call, by the way, on this game, if you just have to go ahead and I'm putting you on the spot, pick randomly, who do you take, okay?
I'm going to take UTEP because BYU finished strong, and if you don't understand why that makes sense, you haven't been watching Mike Price as long as we have.
Oh, that's I think that's as good a pick as you're going to find. I will go ahead and, for absolutely no reason, I'm going to take UTEP because I think Mike Price is retiring. There's a rumor that he's going to retire.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a
rumor. The axe will pass.
Yeah. And I'm sure that this is all due to some sort of hideous money lending arrangement he has with some Mexican gangsters, and Mike Price is going to have to, you know, he's going to have to lay low, man, for a little while. That's okay. It happens to us all. We do need to look at this game, by the way. It is the 2 o'clock game on that day. It is their
making it the first bowl by 3.5 hours, which is why we're going to watch it.
Exactly. It's the first bowl on December 18th. It will be followed by the Humanitarian Bowl. We'll have another little podcast on that. Let's go ahead and examine a couple of the activities that we're going to have, which isn't that really the magic of this. You could have an exciting playoff. People would have to rush from an important game to another one.
But really, it's all about the fleece hat.
It is all about the fleece hat. It's all about taking teams to strip malls in places you'd never go on vacation and having rubber chicken dinners.
I think they should get their chakras red. Is that a thing down there?
It could be a thing down there. They could also, I understand in New Mexico, crystal therapy is very big. It's very new agey,
mm-hmm.
correct? And they also have casinos, which I'll mention, by the way. we do have a casino element here, which isn't it good to have organized collegiate athletics near this? Our call team for this, by the way.
It's not just any casino. It's a Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Yeah, Hard Rock. We will discuss that, which means they probably have, like, you know, no live dealers, but just a machine that spits out cards, right? And says, sorry, when it takes the money. New Mexico Bowl, by the way, we have Bob Wishues and Brian Greasy and Jen Brown. They're the guys who had to go out and do this. So, Jen Brown alert, if you like forehead, you have all the forehead you can handle. These are the activities that we're going to have for the week, by the way. This is my favorite bit. El Pinto will be providing the first team dinner, and the evening will have a balloon glow to accompany dinner.
Yeah, nowhere on the literature, by the way, does it explain what that means.
A balloon glow. I think it means glowing balloons, which are radioactive from nearby nuclear arms sites. Because
I wonder if this
about know,
this year the highlight of the evening will be a balloon glow to accompany dinner.
You know, when I think of why the BCS matters so much, balloon glow, those are the first two words that appear in my vernacular. In the past, the evening's main event has been the green chili stew cook-off. Seriously. And this is why BYU is going to lose. Because Mormons don't cook with peppers and shit.
Oh, to say nothing of later in the night when they're going to be asked to perform a rap, which really is a pick.
Yeah, let's get to that. Each school fields a team of 6 cooks. This is the green chili cook-off, right? And they're given 45 minutes to turn raw ingredients into a delicious green chili stew, one of the state's favorite dishes. I will tell you.
They're just going to hand them squid.
I think this is like, it should turn into some sort of demented Iron Chef, right? The favorite dish is human head! Yeah, human head! And then they will be tasted by a panel of judges, which I would love to be one of the, like, D-list celebrities who's on the panel of judges tasting.
Like the DMV administrator who's yanked out of her Friday afternoon cubby to come down and listen to the green chili cook-off.
You know Bill Richardson's on this, right? Like, you know Bill.
Oh, of course. You know Bill. Some of these players are going to bring their sisters.
It's not like he's going to do anything, right? It's not like he's busy. This year, the cooking will be done. All right, then they will be asked to perform a rap and or skit. I'll just let that stay there. Then there will be, let's see, the winning team is then awarded the Chili Bowl, which they will treasure until they forget it on the team bus. And here's the kicker, by the way.
Please note that the bowl is not spelled like Chili the Soup Bowl, but like Chili the Pepper Bowl. It's a very clever bit of verbiage they've got going on there that I feel is going to go underappreciated by our listening audience.
Yeah, or the country. So if you win this, you will get a customary pair of Augusto Pinochet epaulets that you get to wear during the bowl game. They're pretty hot. The last bit that you should know about the Chili Bowl, and man, doesn't this make you want to take part in the proceedings? Coincidentally, the winner of the Chili Bowl has never won the bowl game. Oh, thanks, guys. I changed my vote.
Way to teach BYU to throw the chili contest.
Exactly. Bronco Mendenhall. All right, we got to get the advantage early. Don't win the Chili Bowl. No problem. We've never used anything but black pepper. And then further events, by the way, will take place. The Hard Rock, they're going to the Hard Rock Casino, which, you know, if you'll notice, Mormons, they don't drink, but they love
to gamble.
They do like themselves some casino. So this is really like, this might actually be a pretty fun bowl game for them. Looking forward to this, on a scale of 1 to 10, really, how bad a bowl game is this to you?
It's the first bowl game. It's the New Mexico bowl game. But there's something called a balloon glow, and there's UTEP. I'm going to give this a solid 4.
A 4? I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to go with about a, I'm going to give it a 3.5. My opinion of it isn't that high. I do have a song written for it, though, which I didn't have time. I didn't have time to find music for it. It's very short, though. If we have to Bogart a popular song and write the New Mexico Bowls theme song for it, it would be, "Whoa, New Mexico, you're having a bowl. Why, we really don't know. Whoa, New Mexico, they have a balloon glow." That's all. That's all I have.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.